A baby comes into the world and doesn't know anything. In fact, you could say truly the baby does not know that milk exists. Never seen milk, doesn't know of milk. Then the baby starts hungering for milk. The hunger for milk is, in one sense, proof that the milk must exist. If you're uncomfortable in the world, if you feel like that even at your best moments it's not good enough, if you're longing for something more, isn't it sort of an evidence that something more does exist? And it's true.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. I'm Daniel Britt, anxious for you to hear Alan's message on heaven, taken from the pulpit at Renola Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
As we continue hearing and thinking about heaven, Alan, a couple of words I know that you're using in this series, a groan, and a longing. So what does the yearn for more really mean?
You know, isn't it something that even in the greatest moments of life, where things have just seemed their very best, I think of some of those moments in my life that is just, it's just like it couldn't get any better. And yet, even in that moment, there's still a little yearning that says, I think there's more than this. That's our yearning for heaven. We are, I think the best image I know of, Daniel, is we're homesick for heaven. It's like you have a home and there's some part of you that knows that I ultimately belong there in eternity, and that I am made for that. And so there's some part of all of creation that's groaning as if in travail for that day.
If you want to know more, listen up next on Sharing the Light. And stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast for information on receiving Alan's full teaching on heaven. Here is Alan Wright.
He will come back in the person of Jesus, and he will scoop up that same dust again, the same dust. And he will blow life into us as a resurrected being, and we will be joined up with Christ in some kind of incredible unity in which heaven and earth are united, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and everything is redeemed, and we have a glorified existence that is beyond imagination, and yet we have shadows of it now, because we can taste and feel and see something of the goodness now. But it'll be even better if you could imagine the resurrection of the body into a glorified kind of ever-living presence with Jesus. And I could get excited about that. Did you get excited about the body you have now that gets completely torn down and completely rebuilt in a resurrection into something that's like this body but altogether better and has spiritual capacity that you've never dreamt of? And what if I told you that it will be fully you, in the same way that Jesus was fully Jesus after the resurrection, and that you would fully recognize and fully embrace those who you now miss in Christ? All this and more is the picture of heaven in the Bible. But in the meantime, Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And what he's describing here is true not just of us as human beings, but of the whole cosmos, that when sin came into the world and curse touched the world and things went into a state of decay, physicists talk about entropy, everything leads towards disorder or deterioration, and the whole earth, along with us, is in a sense groaning. He's saying that's not evidence that it's all leading to its demise. He says, instead, look at it this way. It's evidence that, like a woman in childbirth, that there's something that is on its way to be born that is brand new. So reinterpret, he's saying, the travail of life. It really is a picture, sort of cosmically, of homesickness. That's the best way I can understand this. Is that, have you ever been homesick? You know, Ann and I had some time early in our ministry. We served as counselors for third graders at Camp Greer in Old Fort, North Carolina. Camp Greer, how I love you, down in the valley. And everything's followed a pretty predictable pattern that would end with a campfire, and it only takes a spark to pass it on, and it was good. Third graders would cry and accept Jesus, and we'd love them. But it would always start with at least one person, the first or the second night, and you'd have to go minister to them. Some little boy up in the top bunk, and he's like, "I can't sleep." I'm like, "What's wrong?" He said, "I don't know. My tummy hurts." "Well, do you feel like you got to throw up?" "Well, I'm sort of, but not really." "Well, can I feel your head? Do you feel hot? Does your head hurt?" "Well, not really, sort of." "Let's take your temperature." "Well, you don't have any temperature." And you just sit there and talk to him. Finally, he says, I won't go home." And you start realizing it's the case of homesickness. My brother Mark, when he was a little boy, he went on a big adventure to go to a hockey camp in Minnesota, a long way away from North Carolina. And he went up there for a 2-week hockey camp by himself, didn't know anybody up there. About the middle of the whole thing, he called home and said, "I'm going to come home." And my dad did something I think was a good piece of parenting. He decided, "No, you're not going to come home." But he said, "I'm going to come up there." And he took time off work, and he went and spent the rest of the next week at hockey camp with Mark in Minnesota. And I didn't even really fully remember all that until Mark was telling me this story when my dad died this past fall, and he was telling me these stories. He said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "We went to the amusement park." He said, "He even took me for a helicopter ride." I was like, "Dad, come, you went for a helicopter ride because you were homesick in Minnesota? That ain't fair." You stayed with him, and then they came home. What a sweet picture. This is the picture that Paul's giving. See, you're homesick in this world because you're really made for another home. And sometimes you say, "I'd just rather be home." And God says, "Soon enough, but in the meantime, I'm going to be with you. I'll go through it with you. You will not be an orphan in the world." And so he sends the Holy Spirit, which comes into the heart of the believer. And you know the first thing the Holy Spirit does when you accept Jesus, this is the first work of the Holy Spirit once you have accepted Christ. He begins to show you, just by spiritual revelation and by the Word of God, he begins to reveal to you, you're a child of God. You've been adopted by God. Everything's different now. You belong to Him. And He's always telling you, nothing can separate you from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. I want you to be confident of this. I want you to be sure of this. I want you to know this. I want you to know not only that you're saved, I want you to know that you belong to Him forever. You're going to be with Him forever. And that what you're experiencing now, and every joy that you get, every little bit of peace you experience, I want you to understand this is just a deposit. There's a whole big bank account of this. There's a whole lot more of this. This is just a first fruits. This is just something. When you have your best moment, I want you to just understand, you're getting a taste of heaven because you are a child of God. I I can't understand why somebody would want to preach a gospel that's dangling people's salvation in front of them, people that have accepted Christ, and want to make them think, well, maybe you're not saved anymore, maybe you had a bad day. Well, you can get more people to come forward for your altar call, but I tell you what you also do is you rob people of the hope and the joy and the power and the confidence of what it means to live as a redeemed son or daughter of God in this earth, knowing that heaven is our ultimate destination and nothing can thwart it. Amen. Earth is groaning. It's best put by C.S. Lewis. He said, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. See, what this brilliant literature scholar, C.S. Lewis, discovered once he became a Christian and he just began to see one thing after the other, just things that turned that used to be doubts and now became convincing evidences. That's what the Holy Spirit does. See, it's like if you, C.S. Lewis says, if you have hunger for food, isn't it sort of evidence that food must exist? Like a baby comes into the world and doesn't know anything. In fact, you could say truly the baby does not know that milk exists. Never seen milk, doesn't know of milk. Everything's been, you know, through a umbilical cord until that time. And then the baby starts hungering for milk. The hunger for milk is, in one sense, proof that the milk must exist. If you're thirsty in the middle of a desert, isn't it sort of evidence that there must be something to satisfy the thirst? If you're uncomfortable in the world, if you feel like that even at your best moments it's not good enough, if you're longing for something more, isn't it sort of an evidence that something more does exist? That's what he's saying, and it's true. That Paul's saying is that therefore when you have travails in this world, when you're homesick in this world, don't despair. It's just another convincing evidence that the thing that you long for exists. If you experience brokenness in this world and you long for some relationship that is filled with an unconditional, perfect love where there's perfect acceptance, do not despair. Your longing is simply the travail of one who is longing for the perfect love that does exist in Jesus Christ. If you long for something more than even your best moments in life because how fleeting they are is just evidence, a first fruit. A sneak preview. Sometimes we live like as if we're people who have gone to the movie and they play a preview of a coming movie. And I remember sometimes as a little kid, you know, see the preview comes up and they play all this and then it was over and you're thinking, that was a short movie. It'd be like getting up and leaving when you'd only seen the sneak preview. But the sneak preview is just there to be evidence that there's a whole big movie. And if you liked the sneak preview, you're going to love the real thing. He's saying that the Holy Spirit is to us believers, first fruits, evidence, guarantee, he says in Ephesians 1, of our inheritance in the saints, a deposit that's within us, a sneak preview, a foretaste, whatever you want to call it. It's just you're getting glimpses of something that may be fleeting now, and yet it is still to come in its fullness. See, the reason this world never satisfies, even when you're walking in the abundant life of Jesus Christ, there's still something in us that wants more. Think of it like this. Think of the best moments of your life. You know, everybody, no matter how hard your life's been, you've had some good moments. You've had some good moments. Some of you have a hard time thinking them up, you know, because it's been a long, hard road. And you're like, well, I guess being born, my first breath might have been a good moment, but I don't know, it's been downhill since there. Think of it. You got moments. Maybe it was as a child in which it was your birthday and you knew you were loved and you were celebrated. Or maybe Christmas morning. Or maybe it's when you realized a great dream, something you'd always worked towards and it finally came to pass. Maybe it was in a relationship, maybe in a moment. There are times I still look back. I love the week of our honeymoon. Just nobody calls you on your honeymoon. Nobody wants you to do anything for them. It's your honeymoon. They just smile at you. No pressure on your honeymoon. I thought I'd like another honeymoon. That's what. Think of the best moments of your life. And when you put yourself in that moment, isn't it true? There's still something. There's still something more. In the first place, because the best moments, we know they're fleeting. I mean, on the one hand, we know all the blessedness we have in Jesus is permanent, but just thinking about, I mean, the best moment, we get a taste of more of that. And it's, so there's with it, there's a little travail even with the good. You know, Rinalda Church gave our family such a precious gift and summer off last summer to do some writing, do some resting, and then we took a trip across the country and back, a privilege that so few people get, and we were so thankful for it. We got in a van, we drove all the way across the country and back in 6 weeks and saw the deserts and the plains and old Route 66. And we saw the Grand Canyon and we saw the Pacific Ocean and the waves beating the shore at Monterey. And we saw Yosemite and Grand Tetons and Yellowstone and Rocky Mountain National Park, and saw snow atop the crests in the middle of August. And we drove home. We were still enjoying it so much that the last day that we still milked it and went to the horse farm in Kentucky just to spend the day and didn't get on the road till late and finally got home. I don't know, must have been close to midnight. We finally pulled that van back in the driveway after 9,000 miles. And how precious it was. And we got out of the van and everybody started running inside the house and start carrying stuff, and I said, no, everybody just wait a minute. I just got to have one more moment. I said, just come out here. I just want to hold each other's hands and just thank God. And I just want to enjoy this moment, because I knew, well, that was it. Everybody's running off to their friends and, you know, back to school, back to work, back to friends. Because even the dream of dreams in this life is still fleeting. And so there can be a great joy with a tinge of sadness next to it. And when you feel that, and there's something in you groans just a little bit, Paul says, good. That's the Holy Spirit in you reminding you, you are travailing in childbirth, because it's going to come one day where it is perfection and it does not end. So, when you're suffering, Paul says, reinterpret it. If you have a rejection, the groan tells you that one day there's perfect acceptance. When you're aging and your body's not cooperating, like things take you longer, you can't remember where things are, why you went upstairs, why you came downstairs, something in you groans, it's okay. You're going to be given a perfect body and a perfect mind. And when you're next to the grave of somebody that you love and you groan, it's because the Holy Spirit in you is reminding you that you weren't made to live ultimately in a place where people die. You're made for a place where people live. God is going to make all things new. When humanity fell, He didn't say, well, they've sinned, I've had it, burn them up. Instead, He made a plan to redeem and restore the humanity. And God is not going to throw away His people, and He's not going to throw away His earth. What He's going to do is going to be like a new birth. It'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to be the same people, but we're going to be new people. Heaven is not just the absence of pain and suffering. It is the presence of everything you groan for now. The reason that God wants us to be centered and meditate on the promise of heaven is that it will determine how we live now. And whatever you have confidence in, you have victory in. Hope is not a hope that one day we just get out of this world so we might as well not engage the world. Hope is the promise, the guarantee of our inheritance in the saints that makes us more alive today. That's the gospel.
Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light and today's teaching on heaven. The teaching you heard today is part of a complete CD collection on Alan's Heaven series, and it's our special offer to you for a donation of any amount to Sharing the Light Ministries. As you've heard today, heaven is something we should be anticipating, and although we don't know everything about eternity, there are some absolutes from Scripture. You'll find encouragement and hope as you study along with Alan on CD at your own pace. Request a copy when you call, email, or write us. Also, if you've never contacted us before, please ask for today's free gift to you, the complete message from which today's program was edited. Again, free to first-time friends of Sharing the Light. Our toll-free number is 877-LIGHT-60, on the web at sharingthelight.org, or write to us at Sharing the Light, Post Office Box 5008, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27113. We also ask you to remember that Sharing the Light is able to continue spreading the teaching of the gospel only because of the financial support of faithful friends. Please pray and consider a tax-deductible gift to Sharing the Light Ministries. And while we certainly appreciate your prayer support and your financial giving at any level, Alan, we do have a special opportunity for folks to get involved with us and join the Circle of Light.
We exist because of partners in ministry that believe that this message of grace is urgent and important and powerful. And so this is a new ministry that includes those that want to be an ongoing partnership with us, people that give $20 or more a month or annually along that line. We want to show a special connection together and really sort of a circle of light with the sense of just ever broadening the light of the gospel. There are some special privileges for those who are in the circle of light, including special access to parts of our website that will enable you to access all of the messages of a current sermon series that I'll be preaching, as well as a classic series and some other special communications and opportunities that come along throughout the year. But most of all, the great privilege of being part of the Circle of Light is that you know that you are impacting thousands of lives every day through this radio broadcast. And we are so grateful for all of our partners, because otherwise the broadcast in all of our ministry would not be possible. The Circle of Light really is sharing the light of the gospel all across the world.
Your contributions help sustain the broadcast in your city. When you give $20 a month or more, ask about joining the Circle of Light when you call 877-LIGHT-60 or visit sharingthelight.org. Now, a look ahead at the next edition of Sharing the Light with Alan Wright.
God will not scrap His original creation and start over. Instead, He will take His fallen, corrupted children and restore, refresh, and renew us to our original design.
We certainly hope you'll join us next time and mention the teaching you heard to a friend. Thanks for listening by radio, podcast, or through our online resources at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.